Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. Fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. St. Peter, St. John, St. Andrew, and St. James, they were professional fishermen. So they knew Lake Galilee like the back of their hand. That they'd done for many, many, many years. So Peter that night was fishing and he caught nothing. So he and his companions, they're washing their nets. And Jesus finishes preaching to the multitude. And he tells Peter to go out into the deep and to drop the nets. Here you have a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. He was not a professional fisherman as Peter was. And Peter knew that at that early time of the day, it was not the time when you fish. It was more in the evening. So here you have a professional fisherman with his companions hearing someone tell him to do something that was totally, in a certain sense, absurd. Now what did Peter say? "Lord, we've been fishing the whole night and we haven't caught anything. But at your word, I will lower the nets." So he obeyed, and there's a really good scene in Chosen, in one of the series on this, is that there's so many fish that they have to call their companions, and the boats are almost sinking because there's so many fish. One of the lessons that we learn from this is a virtue that most Americans do not like, nor do they practice. Can I tell you? Obedience. That is not an American virtue, no? Not at all, no? So I'm going to tell you a story that a priest I've been living with for many years, Father Larry, told me on obedience. It was a family that lived in Wyoming, and they were farmers. And the father had two sons, and they had their own horses. And the father told them in that morning to go out into the fields, but not to go directly over the hill, but to go around the hill. Doesn't seem to be a big deal. But the father knew the landscape better than his younger sons. So instead of going up and down, they circumvented it and went around. Right at the very top of the hill, if they were to go over it directly, there are two huge grizzly bears on their hind legs. What would have happened? They probably would have been eaten alive. And all that was because of obedience. Most of us here are not spring chickens, as we say, huh? Most of us are heading toward the twilight of our existence, as the poet says, huh? But I recognize I'm a religious, so I have vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. I have vows, no? But I think if you look in your life, when you haven't obeyed, maybe immediately things seem to go okay, then something fell apart. Examine your lives. When you've disobeyed, maybe for a period of time, things seem to be flowing pretty well, but sooner or later, there's a crack in the structure. About 32 years ago, I was a priest for about 7 years, and I was thriving. I was in Buenos Aires, I was in Cordoba, I was in Argentina, I was in Chile, and I loved it. I was preaching the exercises and missions. I was one of the confessors in one of the cathedrals. I was giving retreats to nuns. I had already given a 30-day Ignatian retreat. That's our charism. I was in the heyday, so to speak. My provincial called, and he said, "I want you to consider going north to California." He said, "I want you to think about it." Right away when I heard him say that to me, I already had my mind, I thought about it, and I don't want to come. That was my thought. But I went to my spiritual director, and my spiritual director was a blind Jesuit, very holy, a blind Jesuit, known for his holiness. So I went to talk to him, and I said, "Well, my provincial said to me, he asked me to think about going north to California," and I told my spiritual director, "I thought about it, and my answer was no." Well, my spiritual director said, "That's a kind way of saying you go north, young man." So I went north, and I've been in California for more than 30 years, and the best 30 years of my life. And that's because I obeyed. Now look back in retrospect, that I didn't want to go because I was really thriving. You know, my Spanish, I was fluent in Spanish, I really got to know the people, I was giving retreats to many people, I was hearing hours of confession. I lived in a place that you wouldn't like. It was like living in your garage with rats on the top, but you get used to it, no? With a potbelly stove to warm you. I mean, I lived in real poverty, no? So wherever I'm placed now, I've seen it and worse, no? But I think we have to learn how to obey. And most of you have children and grandchildren, and maybe they're not accustomed to obey. They have to learn how to obey. They have to learn how to obey. And I'm not a biological father, but I would be really firm on that, is that you have to obey. So we have to obey different areas. We have to obey what? We have to obey God, obey the Bible, obey the magisterium of the church. If you have a confessor, obey your confessor. If you have a spiritual director, obey your spiritual director. Be obedient to your state of life. And then if you're even better trained, even obey the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. But you have to have a spiritual director to really understand what that is. So let's pray that we're not lone mavericks, you know, the Lone Ranger. Remember him? We're not the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger. Remember him? But rather, we're in a team. And our manager is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when for people, they come to me and it's difficult to obey, look up at the cross. You think that was easy? Remember his prayer in the garden, Father, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me. Remember that prayer? But what does he say? Not my will, but your will be done. By the way, that prayer was said 3 times. Our Lord, in his human nature, he was battling because he knew what was in front of him was the crucifixion. So his human nature recoiled, cringed at the prospect of being nailed to the cross. We would do the same thing. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. Satan, Lucifer, said, I will not obey. Jesus and Mary said, we will obey. So let's pray for the grace not to be proud, because the opposite of obedience is pride. And if you want to grow in your spiritual life, you're never going to grow in your spiritual life if you're dominated by pride. All the saints were different, but they love God and they learn how to obey. Amen.